right. Okay. And cut.
Hold on.
Wait.
Don't stop. Well, if you stop, that's
I'm still
okay.
Recording.
I'm still recording.
You're still recording. I want to tell the audience how good the audio from Four Gates will be on this episode and going forward. Because we have found the source of the issue, and now we have full good audio for everyone.
Are you going to tell the audience my embarrassing inability to...
No, there's no need to explain what was the issue. Just know that we found it and we have fixed it.
We found it. And if you want to know what the issue is, I'll post about it on Patreon.
Oh, there you go. Put it on Patreon. That's a good one.
You can find out my deepest, darkest secrets on Patreon. Nerds, welcome to Powerful Hotcakes, a new segment where we bring you more recent news and reviews of albums that we wanted to do. Since our regular episodes are like a month apart, we wanted to talk to you a little bit before then. So without further ado, our first announcement is, ZF, what's our announcement?
It's Blind Guardian.
What are they doing?
Oh my God. I can't believe it. It's been 3,000 years.
Only 3,000 years?
Yes. After all these years, Blind Guardian finally officially announced their orchestral album. You might wonder, orchestral album, but powerful. Their last couple albums had tons of orchestral stuff on them, and to which we say, oh, silly young listener, this album is not even a metal album. It's just pure orchestra, no guitars, none of that bullshit. Just Hansi and a lovely, lovely Twilight Orchestra.
Wait, are you serious? I actually, honestly, this is a genuine reaction. Like, I had no idea.
I was trying to do a bit here. But yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they've said it's, you know, just straight orchestra plus Hansi.
What is it called?
Well, for further explanation, let's turn to their Facebook page.
After all these years of guesses, prophecies, and other confirming irritations, we are happy to announce that Legacy of the Darklands will be released on November 1st, 2019. Yes, it is the orchestral album, and the release date is carved in stone, we hope. Be prepared for this once-in-your-lifetime experience. You better get your version of Die Dunklen Lande by our friend Marcus Heitz, which is out now. Die Dunklen Lande is closely connected to the orchestral album and features the prequel to Legacy of the Darklands. It might also help killing time a little bit. Enjoy. You want to know more about the Darklands? Then, you know, pre-order it on June 1st or whatever it was. Now, you might be thinking, what is Die Dunklen Lande? Well, it's a fantasy book by author Markus Heitz. I'm not German. I'm sorry. He also was the author of the Dwarves series that Blind Guardian also did a song about when it was made into a shitty video game. Yeah. So it's not Tolkien. This album's been in the works for, you know, 20 some odd years, ever since Nightfall and Middle Earth. And rumor has it, the pre-production of the Peter Jackson films, which they allegedly were in talks to do some music for. So Tolkien inspiration, we'll say, even if not lyrical themes.
Wow, this is really big news, because a lot of Blind Guardian and Tolkien and fantasy fans have been waiting for confirmation, not even just for this album, but to confirm the existence of this project. So this is really big news.
Yeah, because they've literally been talking about it for 20 years.
Yeah, and then people have been saying it's bullshit. They're not working on anything like that.
Yeah, it's been...
But they are.
It's like a meme in the metal community of like, oh yeah, when the Blind Guardian Orchestral album comes out. It's like,
yeah,
it's
when
like
the Blind
Half-Life
Guardian
3.
Orchestral album comes out, so we'll Half-Life 3 and Time 2, and we'll also have a Mars Colony by then, probably.
Right?
But I think this Blind Guardian Orchestral album will come out before all of those things.
It's carved in stone. They said it themselves.
Yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. Like, I think the orchestral stuff in their last couple albums sounds good, and I'm always down for a whole album of, you know, Hansi Kirsch
doing
this thing.
So this is just Hansi singing over orchestra.
I assume that's composed by Andre or whoever.
Wow. Yeah.
It's gotta be nice to have that nuclear blast money, am I right?
Yeah, I guess so. So look out for, I can't pronounce this. This is German.
Legacy of the Dark Lands. That's not German.
The novel. Yeah, look out for the novel on March 1st, which has passed already. And Eyes Peeled for Guardians Twilight Orchestra, Legacy of the Dark Lands, released November 1st, 2019.
English translation of Die Dunklen Lande coming eventually.
It's in German. The whole novel's in German. Okay, well, German fans, enjoy the novel. English and other language speakers, we're going to have to wait.
Larry Biscuit would like us to point out that he doesn't like the artwork for the book, Die Dunklen Lande.
It's
some girl with a hat.
It's a woman with a cowboy looking hat, a sword and a gun.
Yeah, kind of like a Bloodborne thing.
That's a lot of weapons. Shit must really be going down in the Darklands. Also, like lightning and wasteland behind her.
Yeah, epic shit. If they're making an album out of it.
All I can get from this album cover is that shit has gotten real. And that you need a sword and a gun.
So if they've been working on this for 20 years, but this book, I assume he's only been writing the last couple.
Yeah.
Where did the first decade and a half go?
Well, I don't know. I feel like books take a really long time to write. So,
I mean, this dude's not George R. R. Martin, is he? Like, shit.
This is all speculation, but maybe when Blind Guardian or Andre was composing this album, they had Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings in mind. But since that didn't really pan out, they started talking to this other author and kind of reframed their music towards this this saga, the Dark Lands. This is all speculation.
Well, that's what we do here.
Yeah, we just theory craft, and maybe it's right, maybe it's not.
So there you have it. November 1st, get hyped, 20 years in the making.
Yes.
I've seen people say like, oh yeah, they talked about this when I was in middle school, and now I've got like fucking kids and a mortgage.
Yes. Okay. Well, that was Blind Guardian's Twilight Orchestra's Legacy of the Dark Lands.
But wait, there's what else more. Hi, I was here too.
What's happening? Oh, Darko. You're here.
Whoa,
where'd you come from? Jesus.
Out of the Darko. Out comes the Darko.
So, hello everyone. I'm here as well.
What up?
And I just, a little bit more detail on this. The book, Die Dunklen Lande, is set in 1629 and has a prequel to the album, apparently.
A prequel?
That's like, what they say. I don't know if it means in, it probably means in terms of story.
So there's another book. It's like The Hobbit is a prequel to Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, so it's like this book is like the setting, and then after that comes whatever story is on the Blind Guardian orchestral album.
Okay, cool.
There's some other quotes on this press release from Nuclear Blast. Mm-hmm. It's incredible that after 20 years, we can actually finish this really exciting project. I am so happy and more than satisfied with it. Every single track unveils spectacular worlds and tells its very own story. With this album, our biggest creative dream finally becomes reality, says frontman singer Hansi Kursch, whose favorite author was equally excited about the collaboration. It's really crazy. As pen and paper role players, we used to listen to Blind Guardian whilst playing, and years later, I get to work together with the band, which was incredible. It's amazing the things that can happen sometimes, Marcus remembers. Of course, I immediately agreed to join. This creative collaboration is very special. On Legacy of the Darklands, Andre and Hansi fulfill their longtime wish of emphasizing imposing choral singing and classical orchestral arrangements. It promises to be an opus unlike any other that the German quartet has ever released, or rather, an opus as has never been heard before.
That's some big claims there.
Yeah, those are some powerful words that were just used right there. So clearly, we have very high expectations for this album.
Will it live to the hype?
Yeah, we'll see. I want an orchestral experience like I've never orchestrated before.
I wonder if they'll play any of this live.
Maybe
that'd be cool.
Like, oh my gosh, I can see an orchestral tour happening.
A symphony tour.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Very doable, and I'd be down to it. Unless it sucks, but I doubt it sucks.
Unless it sucks, then I would not. Then we would stay home. Well, I hope it won't suck, so we can enjoy
it. It shouldn't. I'm pretty sure that it will not suck.
Yeah. That's, seems like you put a lot of thought into this.
Yeah. Like, they have solid songwriting, so.
They do.
This should work. Yeah.
Speaking of another German supergroup with also some very interesting songwriting, let's talk about Avantasia.
Avantasia. So, they have a new album.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Avantasia, for those of you who've been living in a dark cavern under a rock.
In the dark lands.
In the dark lands. Is a German power metal, symphonic metal, whatever, supergroup by Tobias Sammet. And they released an album called Moon Glow on February 15, 2019. And today, which is a few weeks after the release, we would just want to give our thoughts on this very polarizing and interesting album.
Yeah, since we just missed the release of the album when we recorded our last episode, we couldn't actually review it there.
Yeah.
So,
and a lot of our friends asked us what we thought of the album just because it's so polarizing. It's interesting to hear what other people think about this album.
Is it very polarizing?
I've heard some people say like, oh, it's not, I don't know. I've heard generally good, like positive opinions on this, but also like, I've also heard some similar things that happened in Ghostlights where there's a little bit of bloat, and a lot of the instrumental sections are kind of drawn out. What do you think about this?
I really like the album. I was very, very happy with it. I think I like it better than Ghostlights. Maybe not as much as Mystery of Time, but I think it is a very, very strong album. Like, all of the songs, or the vast majority of them, they have a lot going on, and they're very pretty. Like, yeah, the vocals and all the like crazy vocalists are like the main focus of each of the songs, but if you're paying attention, there's a lot of cute little melodies and different bits of instrumentation going on in the background, from piano or keyboard or a variety of different stringed instruments as well. So it's one I recommend, you know, you really, you know, give it a solid active listen, because, you know, it takes you away into Toby's fantasy dreamland thing.
Yeah, I think Toby puts a lot of effort into his concepts, whether people actually listen for it or not. And you can read more of my thoughts in the powerful reviews that will be posted on our Instagram and Facebook page. Find us at Powerful Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. But overall, I thought that this album had some very creative songwriting. It's a bit whimsical, and it reminds me of Mystery of Time a lot. And the songs really differ stylistically. Like, there's a lot of use of choral vocals. There's a lot of like little cute guitar riffs, like you just said. And there's also even some, I think, some pretty well done poppy tracks, like the title track Moon Glow.
Yeah, like the title track is, you know, probably the poppiest on the album.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a solid song. Like, it's really grown on me. I really like it.
Yeah.
And Candice Night is great.
I think the chorus for Moon Glow is the strongest chorus of the whole album.
Yes, absolutely.
I can see that.
And also, what I didn't expect, like, I fully accepted the fact that Avantasia is no longer a power metal based project.
But they have way more power metal.
They
on this
have
album.
More power metal in this album than they've had for their last, I don't know, since the Metal Opera, I think.
Probably.
Yeah. which was a huge surprise. But it's cool. And it's not like, I thought there were some really boring power metal snoozers on their past release. The one that had Kisuke on it on Ghost Lights.
Unchain the Light. I love that song.
Really?
Oh, it's so
boring.
So hype.
It was so repetitive and so boring. But the power metal tracks on this album were not repetitive and boring like that. It's songs that had not ABA chorus A like structure.
Yeah.
It had more interesting song structures. It had kind of some long drawn out instrumental sections, but they weren't like pointless riddly diddlying. Overall, it's a good album. I sound pissed because I'm really tired, but I genuinely really enjoyed this album.
What were some of your favorite songs?
My favorites, I really loved Ghost in the Moon. It's really ballsy to open with a 10-minute track, but I guess Toby can pull it off anyone can.
I've noticed Avantasia usually puts the long songs towards the front of the album.
Yeah, like Seven Angels.
And Let the Storm Descend Upon You, yeah. Scarecrow.
Yeah, they just want to kick your ass right away in the beginning.
Like the first single for this was the 11-minute Raven Child.
Oh, I know. Actually, yeah, I think that might be my other favorite track. And I also really like the title track with Candace Knight on it.
Yeah, Raven Child first is appearance incredible.
By Hansi. First appearance by Candace Knight. And then everybody else is pretty much Avantasia, like, regulars. There's, like, Yorn and Ronnie Atkins. Oh, actually, is it creator guy's first? Mile, I can't pronounce his name. Is this his first Avantasia appearance?
I think so. Mile Petroza. I can't remember if I butchered that. On Book of Shallows. He does, like, this almost, like, thrash metal-y, like, bridge section on Book of Shallows.
He's just like
really
yelling
cool.
at you.
Like the probably really most aggressive Avantasia thing. Book of Shallows is another highlight. It's got like four or five guest vocalists on it. One of the more metal-y ones with all this vocalists just like cycling through. It's really cool.
For sure.
The other one that's like that is The Piper at the Gates of Dawn, which is the happiest song of the year.
Piper at the Gates of Dawn. Yeah. I think the melody of that just reminds me of another Avantasia track, and I can't really put my finger on it.
I thought a happy song, this one was Lavender, the one after that with Bob Catley.
The Bob Catley songs that Toby writes are so, like, pleasant.
I feel like Toby really knows how to get the most out of all of these crazy vocalists that he gets.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that there's a Maniac cover.
Let's talk about that.
Like, what is going on?
I don't hate it, but it feels so out of place.
It kind of does. Maybe they're like, oh, this is fun to record. Let's just like fucking throw it on the album.
One of the interviews with Toby when I looked at it, and he's like, oh, yeah, and we covered Maniac. And I'm like, fucking why did you cover Maniac? He sort of justified it as fitting within like the album's theme of outsiders, I guess, but like musically it doesn't fit at all.
But outsiders, but Maniac is like about
a girl dancing.
Yes.
It seemed like a BS excuse just to put this song on there.
It's like the girl dancing is outside because everyone is like, the fuck's wrong with her? She's a maniac.
Yeah, like
on the flow.
The rest of the like concept and the lyrics are hard to totally understand because it's an Avantasia album, but it does go
I
for
have
this
the
theme
booklet,
of outsiders.
But I haven't read it because there's a lot of words and it's really thick.
Toby put a lot of work into that. He's talking about it on his Facebook.
There's just a lot of words.
I do really, really like the song Before Maniac, Requiem for a Dream, the one Michael Kiske album or song.
Yeah, that's actually like a good Kiske track.
It's just like straight up power metal. It's got Michael Kiske. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So if you haven't heard already, pick up Avantasia's Moon Glow. I think it's worth a listen. Even if you're not into, like, I don't know. I think a lot of people are, like, kind of picky on genres, but this one, it keeps it interesting. It's not, like, straightforward power metal, and it's kind of fun. It's, like, a little bit theatrical, a little bit playful. Very interesting.
Yeah, it's got a good variety of like styles of songs with the more metal-y stuff, more poppy stuff, the like epic symphonic stuff, like those like slower or like almost like mystical style stuff.
Yeah, and not only that, you can tell that the guitar parts are not an afterthought either.
Oh no, definitely
so
not.
So for fans of riffs, for fans of theatrical stuff, for fans of Tobias Sammet.
Darko, what were your favorites on here?
My favorite was Piper, and that's it, honestly. I don't know. I wasn't a real fan of this overall, but that's just me. I don't worry about it. I'm the one that's in the wrong here, clearly.
You are not wrong. You're entitled to your opinions.
I'm outnumbered 2-1.
Yeah, it's cool. I realized that I'm really surprised that a lot of our power metal friends aren't that into Avantasia either. Yeah.
Well, that's because I don't know the overall vibe of this album, of this particular album, is more rock sounding.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I personally am not a fan of the sound of this album, and it felt like a core to listen to it more than once for me because of what I like.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think I'll be coming back a lot to it, maybe just for that one song sometimes.
Yeah, it's definitely, it plays out like a rock opera more than like a power metal album. So I think your expectations have to be calibrated accordingly.
Yeah.
Yeah, for those who are a fan of Avantasia, though, they are coming on tour. We're recording this in March 2019, so we've got a few months.
Depending where you are.
Yeah, they are touring North and South America.
Yes.
Are they coming to South America?
Yes,
they are.
I have my tickets, actually, because I will go to the show. Because
we
it's
have
worth
our
it.
Tickets, too, here in the Northern Americas.
Yeah.
So we are excited. I've seen Avantasia twice before, which I think is rare for a North American.
Yeah, for sure.
I've had the privilege of seeing Avantasia twice before. Once on like a medium-sized stage in Canada, Quebec to be specific, and once on a tiny stage in California. And they put on a hell of a show. It's like 3 hours long, and it was another one of those shows when I didn't realize like 3 hours had gone by.
Yeah, I think Toby has said for
this really cool
tour, they're going to do 3 hour shows, like an hour of Moonglow and 2 hours of old stuff, which I think
is
good balance.
Oh my God. That'd be really cool.
Like a great show.
Yeah.
And for a change, you guys are seeing it before me.
Oh my gosh.
What?
That like never happens. Yeah,
your show is 2 weeks before mine.
Oh, okay.
I'm considering going twice because they have two in California.
It's why not?
Yeah, I should.
Why not?
I should probably try to do it. I can probably make it work.
Yes.
If I could make what? If I could go see Halloween 3 times in a year, you can.
You saw Halloween 3 times in like
you
a month.
You saw Halloween 3 times. Was it 3 or 4?
No, I bailed on the fourth one.
Too near your home.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was too tired by the fourth one.
2 at home, 2 in like. Northern or North America.
I'm gonna really lobby to try to get like a normie friend of mine to go to one of these Avantasia shows. I feel like it'd be a very easy first metal show for a normie.
Yeah, absolutely. I've taken my husband to see Avantasia and basically most shows that I've been to, and he's had a great time. It's a good metal show to bring a friend to.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do. I'll find someone who's feeling adventurous. I recently saw Enciferum, which I was like, should I ask someone to go to this? I'm like, no, probably not.
Yeah, that's a bit more hard to get into.
It was a very fun and kind of wild show, but that's off topic.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. So any more thoughts on Avantasia Moonglow?
It has very cool album artwork.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
It's very cool. It has some very pleasing shades of dark blue and green and a creepy little child and like a moon.
Glowing.
How many of these songs have the word moon in their lyrics? I should look that up.
Yeah, like there's I think all the song titles are about, like, they're very thematic. Like, Ghost Lights had haunting and ghosts.
Yeah, it's like it's not so much telling a story with the lyrics so much as it's giving you, like, a vibe, an atmosphere.
Yeah, Spectre. No, the Spectre is this fucking mystery of time, which was all time theme. It was about, like, clocks and shit. Watches, clocks.
Yes. Well, they had Savior and the Clockwork on Ghost Lights.
That was on Mystery of Time.
That was Mystery. Yeah, and then I'm thinking Master of the Pendulum.
That was on Ghost Lights. That one. But that was like had a sort of creepy like vibe too, I guess.
Because it had Marco from Nightwish on it.
I mean, not saying he's creepy or anything, but.
Anyway, my top three songs, if I haven't said it, are Book of Shallows, The Raven Child, and Requiem for a Dream. Raven Child, probably front runner for song of the year for me.
Wow, that's a big claim.
I've been listening to that shit like nonstop since it came out in December.
It's sort of like a difficult listen for me. It's like, okay, it's like I'm going to run a marathon or something, which I really don't want to do.
I like it. I like big epic songs when they're done well, which I think this one is.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big like risk to go in on a long song because it can either fall really flat or you can, you know, really hit it out of the park, which if we ever do an epic song episode, I'll get.
Oh, yeah. Good idea. So you heard it here first. Future episode idea. Really long songs.
We need to make that the longest episode.
The longest episode of any power metal podcast.
Are there any other power metal podcasts?
There's metal podcasts, but none specifically
but no
about power
metal podcasts.
So we are already we already are the longest power metal podcast.
That's right. We are the longest power metal podcast.
And the shortest.
And the shortest. On that note, let's not let this hot cakes draw out too long. So this is Four Gates. And I guess I should have introduced you guys in the beginning. But here with me are ZF.
Hello.
And Darko.
Hi.
And if you want more of our full episodes, find us on powerful-podcast.com. Reach out to us. Reach out for the light to us on Facebook and Instagram at Powerful Podcast. And subscribe to our full episodes on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And be on the lookout for a new full episode coming soon.
Okay, that's the end.
Wait, you didn't say stay powerful.
Oh, shit. Oh. Stay powerful.
Stay powerful.
Good enough.